open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hello, KBOO listeners. You're listening to KBOO Portland. We're just a few seconds before 10 o'clock in the morning. I hope you're having a wonderful morning here in Portland. And I'm just letting you know that up next after these announcements, we will have Air Cascadia. Chris Andre will be here with interviews, headlines, and commentary. We have at 10:15 Flashpoints, Dennis Bernstein. He has Greg Palast discussing the updated edition of his documentary, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, the case of the stolen election. And at 11 o'clock on stage and studio, BodyVox artistic co-directors visit to talk about their new production, Lexicon. It's a live performance combining dancers, infrared sensors, live video, and animation into a very unique stage experience. At 11:30 on Art Focus, Joseph Gallivan interviews Portland artist Ellen Goldschmidt about her show, Hot Lava Family Pictures, now at Blackfish Gallery. KBOO keeps you informed and you can get involved. Go to kboo.fm and click on donate to become a member. Stick around this afternoon. We have, as usual on Tuesdays, Spanish language programming going on until 4 o'clock. So always something good here at KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Right Around Portland Book Release and Public Reading, Wednesday, December 13th at 6:30 p.m. at Tabor Space in Portland. Know These is the 53rd collection of community writing. This reading will feature work written by participants in the Fall 2017 writing workshops, including long-term HIV survivors, middle school students, adults living with a mental health diagnosis, members of assisted living communities, and many more. Again, that's Right Around Portland Book Release and Public Reading, Wednesday, December 13th at 6:30 p.m. at Tabor Space, 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, December 12th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and of course your fake news radio. at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. We are going to be, we may be able to get our guest today on a cell phone. We're going to have to jerry-rig this and see what we're able to do, come up with. So that said, our guest hopefully will be Meg Ward, who is part of the lawsuit. She is one of the people who speaks on behalf of a group of, I think it's 21 children. They're more or less teenagers now. I think the youngest is 8, but the others are a bit older. They've been at it for a long time. It's Juliana versus the United States, in other words, versus Trump. The Trump administration is terrified. It's got this enormous red Make America Hate Again knickers in a bunch around its enormous red bottom. The fear of these children and their attorneys, who seem unstoppable. It would appear that the administration thought this would all just blow over and go away. And it hasn't, just like many other issues. Of course, sexual harassment charges against Trump, which Trump thought all he would have to do is wave a couple of attorneys at these women and that they would disappear. Magical thinking, if there's any thinking at all, seems to be the keynote of the administration. We have more news. There's a lot going on in Coos Bay with regard to Jordan Cove. There's really just about one person standing right now, and that is, of course, our frequent guest, Jody McCaffrey, who joins us almost on a weekly basis with news from the Jordan Cove front building. Of course, anything there is absurd and, well, very, very, very dangerous. It's a lawsuit waiting to happen, in that they want to build an LNG terminal. They want to build a terminal for fossil fuels that are obsolete anyway, and they're building it on sand in the path of an earthquake ambling up the coast. And of course, any disturbance, a good solid storm, could take it out because of the fact that it would be built on sand. Furthermore, the local township does not have the infrastructure capable of supporting what's been promised, the thousands of jobs. The jobs are obsolete. They've all been taken by computers, so there you go. But if they did exist in many places, not just in the instance of Jordan Cove, but in many places, the infrastructure is incapable of supporting the influx of people associated with whatever industry it is. Because you know what? They're going to bring in their own people. They are not going to hire local people. Maybe for the construction in the initial phases. But those jobs come and go. They're there one for at the most perhaps a year, and then they're gone. And the good, solid jobs that are associated with whatever the industry is, those jobs are likely to be filled by the company's main office, because they want people who understand what they're trying to build. I doubt very much whether laid off loggers will be able to handle the demands of say a vast, gigantic Bitcoin center. That seems highly unlikely. Just saying. I mean, Oregon's stellar graduation rates would certainly argue the opposite. So Trump still thinks that the women are going to go away, and workers still think that jobs are going to come back. In Alabama, we've got the election of the century coming up, and we know exactly what's going to happen. The Republicans can't rig it so that that Roy Moore gets wins by a landslide. He's going to have to win by just a hair in order for it to look legit. Russian bots are furiously are botting away right now. And this is one, these elections lately where the Democratic candidate loses by a hair's breadth all seem to have that whiff of sulfur about them. So if you have any hope left, don't bother waking it up for this one. This is an election that hope can easily sleep through. And we still are. I don't think people have fully understood the degree to which everything they do or think even is being manipulated by the machinery that we think is at our disposal to use as we like. All of our massive consumption of social media, where we imagine that we are in control of our social media intake. Well, we might be in charge of the intake, but certainly not the what I'm looking at now is a message here. It looks like we may not be able to speak with Meg Ward after all. We'll bring you tomorrow an update on the results of that hearing that took place yesterday in Eugene and regarding the 21 children who are suing. It's a Giuliani versus United States of America. That's going to be a good one. And, of course, the Ninth Circuit is going to be jumping on that a little bit later down in San Francisco. This hearing is a warm-up for that. But I wanted to return to the main theme of today's program, and that is the degree to which we are manipulated by devices which we soundly believe most people do. That you pull out that phone, got to wake up in the morning, check Facebook, see how many tweets something on. Yes, right. The fact is that now, and it has been this way for quite a while, we really are programmed. We really are run by these machines. You're fooling yourself if you think otherwise. The brilliant mind of the activist is actually being driven the remote fingers of a much larger machine. So it is something to be very careful with. Don't know the degree to which we are really playing with fire, and it may very well be the all over. So sometime try not to go 24 hours or preferably a week without using that phone, without participating in the game that they would like you to participate in. Try it just for a short while and see what happens. It's a very interesting experiment. The Russians have this down cold. They've been playing this for a while now. They've been playing this in European elections, and as we know now, of course, they've certainly been playing it in our recent elections. And if you think that Alabama is going to be immune to this, if you think that Russia's not interested in that election, you're definitely owned by your phone. On which topic, given that we are in fact owned by our phones and we are in fact programmed from afar, it would behoove all of us to take the net neutrality question very seriously. You do have expectations when you go online. You expect to be connected to whatever website you want. You expect that your cable or your phone company isn't messing with the data and is connecting you to all the websites, applications, and whatever content you are after. The thing is that we do expect net neutrality. Very few people have imagined what the internet would be like without net neutrality. It would be a very different place. It would be a marketplace. It would not be a forum for the free exchange of ideas, whether those ideas are repulsive or and repellent to you, or whether those they are the precious foundations of everything that you know and believe. It is important. Net neutrality is for people coming from every side of the questions that face us today, racism, misogyny, and our business interests. And believe me when I say there are business interests, good and bad, and we should definitely embrace the good ones because that's our only defense against the bad. And finding out who is attacking net neutrality is a pretty damn good idea. Chairman Pai wants to replace the agency's strong rules. It would be voluntary conditions, right? This is something that Donald Trump devoutly hopes will pass, and at this point looks like it will, and it'll be 3-2, but it's going to go straight back into court again. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, December 12th, 2017. Engineering, Tavi Fasha-Drake is engineering for us today. Thank you so much, Tavi. Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. And, well, we needed to invite Greg Palast back because, well, among other things, there's an election of sorts happening tomorrow down south. It's significant, and what we're not hearing about this election is also significant, and that's why we always turn to Greg Palast, whose film, newly redone for your protection, coming up to the next election so that you can fight back as it gets stolen